You're listening to Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless, The World at 5.
Widespread this evening, possibly heavy and thundery a bit later on, with strong cold southerlies. For Marlborough and Canterbury, rain developing about Canterbury this morning and Marlborough this afternoon, with cold southerlies. As thunderstorms possible about Marlborough this afternoon and evening, and then rain's going to be easing in the south this evening. For Nelson and Buller, also Westland, you've got rain spreading north this morning, possibly heavy for a time, clearing with fine spells from the south this afternoon. For Fiordland and Southland, also Otago, showers with snow are down to about 600 metres for a time this morning, showers clearing in Otago this afternoon, and the Chatham Islands, periods of rain, and that's the weather. That is it. We'll be back with some more breaking news in a moment.
Yeah, thanks, Laura. We're here on the banks of the Thames, where the Metropolitan Police say they have found...
This is all odd. I'm not sure why she's there, Digger. We don't want her there. What about Fanny?
Your office objected to us getting Delta records for flights that you may have taken with Mr. Wade.
I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives. You're confused. You think,
mate, even that's old. We want some new stuff.
In daytime, you've got a certain demographic, as you guys know, because a lot of people are at work, and you guys are such a part of America's fabric. It's fun to go on late at night. I mean, at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
You can say things that Brian doesn't let us say anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
I've already been getting some warnings about that. You can only go so far.
So tell us about what you've been working on.
4 hours of news every day. We're going to tell people the facts and let them make up their own mind about whether it's good news or bad news.
Yeah.
It's not going to be spin. We're just going to, here's what happened. You decide whether it's good news or bad news. Talking about real challenges, looking for real solutions.
So you say you're not the only voice in your kids' ears, so you have to be the best voice.
Kids stopped living their lives and started watching people live their lives.
Mm.
And so we saw the biggest spike and the highest levels of depression, anxiety, loneliness, and suicidality since records have ever been kept.
Hmm.
And it's just continued on and on and on. Then COVID hits 10 years later, and the same agencies that knew that are the agencies that shut down the schools for 2 years. Hmm. Who does that? Who takes away the support system for these children? Who takes them away and shuts it down? And by the way, when they shut it down, they stopped the mandated reporters from being able to see children that were being abused and sexually molested, and in fact sent them home and abandoned them to their abusers with no way to watch, and referrals dropped 50 to 60%.
So there was also a pandemic going on, and they were trying to save
children's lives. Remember, we know a lot of folks who died during this, so it wasn't, people weren't laying around eating bond, but well, you know what? We're lucky. Maybe we're lucky they didn't, because we kept them out of the places that they could be sick, because no one wanted to believe we had an issue.
Are you saying no school children died of COVID?
I'm saying it was the safest group. They were the less vulnerable group, and they suffered and will suffer more from the mismanagement of COVID than they will from the exposure to COVID. And that's not an opinion. That's a fact.
Phil?
Dr. Phil.
We don't have time to talk it out now, man. Thanks for coming. The new book is called We've Got Issues.
88.1 FM, The Wireless International News.
Right, we're moving right across to GB now, GB News, and Palestinian activists stormed New York Times building in a furious protest at complicity in Israel's genocide. They're calling it genocide. We'll have a quick listen to that. Blimmin' halfwits. You try and have a conversation with them, though, you wouldn't be able to get anything sensible out of them. They just parrot the stuff they're given.
Hang on. Harry and Meghan. And although a lot of people did sort of trash their documentary, or I call it a mockumentary series.
Oh, I think it moves into other things. Anyway, we'll go back to that. The New York the police department were called to the building, and over 100 people were protesting there. They've been making arrests. Pro-Palestinian. They're just Arabs. They're not pro. There's no such thing as a Palestinian. It was invented by Yasser Arafat, or sort of made popular by Yasser Arafat back in the 60s and 70s. But there's only Jews and Arabs in Israel, and that whole area belongs to Israel according to the Bible. If you believe the Bible, and if you curse the Jews, God will curse you. Genesis 12:3. Watch it. I tell you what, you bless the Jews, God will bless you. And I've looked in my life, I'm 64 years old, and I've seen a lot of people that have been cursed. And they and the ones that are anti-Semitic, I've had the neo-Nazis that hate the Jews, and their life is in tatters. They're absolutely cursed. Now, the pro-Palestinian, so-called Palestinian protesters staged an occupation at the head office of New York Times today in Manhattan. That was overnight here in New Zealand time. And the activists called it a demonstration against the media giant's complicity with Israel's genocide. Over 100 demonstrators were seen storming the office, brandishing banners with slogans like New York war crimes and stop the presses, free Palestine. The protesters, what they mean by that, the river to the sea, it means kill all the Jews from the river Jordan, probably Euphrates, all the way through to the Mediterranean. Get rid of all the Jews. Kill them all, just like Hitler did. The protesters gathered on the ground floor lobby of the building in New York. The New York Times employees gathered as they gathered for the annual State of the Times corporate meeting. Chants from the river to the sea. There you go. Palestine will be free of Jews is what they mean. That could be heard, led by protesters with megaphones. Dozens of New York police, the New York Police Department officers were called to the scene and have made arrests at the office, taking some protesters into custody. At the same time, activists throughout the city distributed copies of a parody paper named the New York War Crimes, like the protest banner, which they called an alternative broadsheet printing the truth of Palestine. Nonsense. They wouldn't have a clue. The protest follows another demonstration in the early hours of today, in which a Palestinian solidarity activist blocked a shipment of this morning's edition of the paper from being at the printing plant in Queens, New York, which also produces the New York Post, the Wall Street Journal, and other papers. Police said no arrests had been made after they tipped rubble onto roads, blocked vehicles. Why not arrest them? And displayed banners with the messages stop the presses, free Palestine, and consent for genocide is manufactured here outside the plant. There we are. Oh, there's another little clip. No, it's a short one. Nothing there. Nothing to see here. Moving along. Prince William jokes about Kate's art skills after the Photoshop controversy. And the royal expert says Prince Edward and Sophie are a good platform for the royals. And is this man who is going to buy TikTok, who is this man who's going to buy TikTok to save it from ban in the United States? I do not know. We'll go to that and see. There, see if there is a visual. No, it's just a photograph. So if the bill crosses Joe Biden's desk, Beijing-based parent company ByteDance will have 165 days to find a buyer. Steve Munchen has confirmed plans to acquire TikTok from ByteDance. The former U.S. Treasury Secretary worked alongside Donald Trump. House of Representatives passed a bill to force ByteDance to sell TikTok. Failure to comply would lead to an outright ban of TikTok in the United States of America. The Senate still needs to debate and pass the bill for it to happen, but as momentum builds, bids to buy TikTok are clearly being put together. TikTok could be banned within a matter of weeks, leaving 170 million users in the United States unable to access popular video sharing. The U.S. House of Representatives passed a controversial bill yesterday that gave TikTok's Chinese owner ByteDance 165... We read all this. So we're over at... where are we? We're at GB News. GB News. They're trying to get rid of GB News at the moment. They are, according to Katie Hopkins. Now, we've got some more news here. Now, TUI. TUI causes, not the bird, TUI causes outrage after embracing goth in Dutch advertising campaign. Now, let's see what that's about. Is that TUI, vacation company? Let's have a look. Colonialism conundrum. Here we are.
The whole cyclical famines of India ended because of British storage techniques and malnutrition projects.
You're actually lying about your famines.
Well, I'd love to have a longer discussion where I can expose the nonsense that you're spouting here.
Also,
the British advanced women's rights in India. The history of women in India is one of oppression. The British banned suti, the burning of women.
She must be TUI, is it? She's pretty.
...on the funeral pyres. The British stopped the infanticide of girls, and the British allowed Hindu women to remarry.
You killed in 1919. You shot dead.
You wouldn't be here enjoying the lifestyle you are were it not for the...
Good on you, mate. I like him.
Britain's great advances for women. I'm terribly sorry.
Rafe, what you're saying is because Britain, the great British Empire, we went there and we advanced.
Don't live there then. Don't live there, love. You don't like it?
Lucky. I'm not lucky if my ancestors were murdered at the hands of...
Your ancestors are also my ancestors. We're both Sikhs, all right? So don't speak as if you have complete domain over this.
All right? I'm not lucky.
You are absolutely...
No, go back to India.
I'm not lucky because of British colonisation. British colonisation was genocide.
I'm saying as a woman, as an Indian woman, you are lucky because of colonisation, because your life would not be as...
I'm in a country where I face racism. I could have been back home, and actually India could have been richer. Thankfully, we are richer now.
India is one of the world's five most racist countries. I'm terribly sorry to break it
to you. That's got nothing to do with colonisation.
Oh, he's good. Now, who's he? Tui causes outrage after him.
We're sick and tired of hearing from Harry and Meghan.
Shut up. The company faces backlash. Yeah, Tui, it is a travel firm, Tui. Yep, my son worked for them. Has apologised after an advertising campaign invited Dutch tourists to follow the brave ancestors who enslaved people. Oh, rubbish. Did not. The company faces backlash online after a Suriname tour. What is Suriname? Suriname tour was shown on social media. Doesn't make sense, that. I don't understand that word. Suriname. Suriname tour. The South African country was colonised by the Netherlands in the 17th century. A plantation economy was supported by African slave labour, which was the Muslims caught all the African slaves and then they traded them to everyone else. They like to leave that out. It produced sugar before the country, which is terribly bad for you, before the country gained independence in 1975. The Post read, "Step into the shoes of our brave ancestors and follow their tracks in green and adventurous Suriname." Suriname, maybe? I don't know. You cannot escape Dutch influences in Suriname. Oh, learn how to pronounce it. All right. I'll just highlight that. We'll go over there. We'll go to my French friend. He's good at pronunciation. We shall go to him now at 14 minutes past 6. How to pronounce Suriname. It's probably Suriname. Let's have a look. How to do it properly. Here, this is our little French friend, Julian. Julian, hello. You are.
Some savings don't listen.
Oh, no, we've got an ad. But a little ad goes for a few moments, and then we'll have our friend Julian. Julian, coming up. Here we go. Lad for Uber One. Hello.
We are looking at how to pronounce the name of this country located on the northeastern coast
Suriname.
Of South America. It is defined by vast
Suriname,
of
I reckon.
Rainforest, Dutch colonial architecture, and a melting pot culture. How do you go about pronouncing its name? Suriname.
Oh, I was right the first time.
Suriname country in South America. Here are more videos on how to pronounce more country names, including in South America, whose pronunciations aren't exactly always obvious.
Thank you.
There to learn more.
Thank you very much. Now you can go. He's got a YouTube channel. He's fabulous. Frenchman. Boy, he can speak well. What does it say here? Oh, that's, I've got a little ad there for Chardon, for Moet. And it's Moet, not Moe. Huh. Yeah, and his name is probably Julian Miguel, or it could be Julian, but I think it's Julian Miguel. He's brilliant. I don't know if he is French. I think he's French. He might not be. He's only young. He sounds old, doesn't he? He's got a beautiful voice. So that's him. He always tells me how to do it, how to pronounce words properly. I used to rely on him an awful lot back in the day. Well, I didn't have the Daniel Jones English Pronunciation Dictionary handy, but a lot of words aren't in there. Only English words are in there. Now, where were we? We're over at Great Britain News. We're at Suriname. There we are. We've got it right. The Dutch influences in Suriname. Our colonial ancestors founded hundreds of plantations that determined the image of the district. Anti-racism group Kick Out Swarte Piet hit back at the advert, demanding whether the brave ancestors were a reference to the raping, violent, robbing colonisers in Suriname. The group also queried the holiday that costs £2,023, or euros, which matches the year of royal apology, 2023, a year which made the Dutch crimes... brought them out of the dark ages into the front. But anyway, TUI, being the wimps they are, they have since apologised and changed the description. They didn't aim to produce people to introduce people to the beauty. Oh, they did. So as it did not aim to introduce people to the beauty of Suriname with respect to the country, its people and its history, did not? I mean, they did. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, Great Britain news there. Grant's losing track. He's losing his marbles. Now, let's go to Elon Musk and see what fake space stuff that he's got at the moment. There were at the Starship test flight. SpaceX has launched a third Starship test flight and reaches new milestones. Business mogul Elon Musk heaped praise on the launch, taking to X, formerly Twitter, to say Starship reached orbital velocity. And here we've got a little video of it. It's just a short one. Hopefully there is some audio.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
And they all go, "Yee!" Never did that back in the 60s, did they? They never went, "Yay!" Because probably back in the 60s they had a conscience. They knew what they were doing was fake. Now, I don't even think the people that are cheering for this, I don't think they realise it's fake.
So far, now, it was around a minute into the flight last time that there was what's known as a rapid unscheduled disassembly.
Well, we can't look away now, then.
Now, a rapid unscheduled disassembly might sound like technical jargon. What does it actually mean? It means it blew up. But yes, this one, not yet blowing up. We're looking at one of the grid fins here, articulated grid fins to help the rocket come back down to Earth and, as so many SpaceX rockets do, land so it can be reused. Although this test will not be reused, it will test how the rocket can not only go up, but come back down to Earth.
And if you're a billionaire and your rocket blows up, it's probably quite a knock to the ego.
Well, I don't know if it necessarily is, because the whole thing about SpaceX and its iterative design project is, unlike NASA, where they design everything in computers for years and years and years and make sure the final thing is perfect, SpaceX are a lot more bullshy with it. Right. They'll knock something together, see if it works, and if it doesn't, they'll have so many tests on it, they'll see why it didn't work. So the last one that flew, that blew up, that wasn't a failure, because they learnt why it blew up. It's full of all of these different instruments and measurements so that they learn what works and what doesn't in a real-world setting.
I want to know how fast it's going.
Oh, that is a very good
That's
question.
That's a good question. He's got no idea. Going pretty fast. Okay, and now where are we? We're looking at another video. They're just zipping one video to the next, so we'll go back now. 20 minutes past 6. Good morning to you. Now, why don't we have a look at this day in history? Let's do that. Where are we? This day in history. Yes, here we go. If you're having a birthday today, happy birthday. It's the 15th of March, and on this day, of course, 51 people were killed in a mosque shooting. New Zealand's Muslim community suffered a horrific attack. With a self-proclaimed, what they call a white nationalist, who's actually a leftist, he was actually a Muslim as well, left from a different sect of Islam, but they don't want you to know that. They wouldn't allow us to look at the manifesto, nor would they let us look at the video that he took of his fake bullets. You know, they were just going on the ground, disappearing shells coming out of the gun. Anyway, so hopefully Counterspin Media will have something. They've got something there, but possibly the police would have taken some of that information when they broke into their home and stole all their camera equipment, still haven't given it back. Anyway, according to this report from newzealandhistory.gov.nz, 51 people were killed. Apparently he opened fire on worshippers, but he also said in his court appearance, the transcript, I was reading the transcript, it said that there were 9 other shooters. That's what came out of his mouth when he was arrested in Christchurch. 9 other shooters were with him in Canterbury. 2 of the mosques that he went to, 50 people were killed, 41 wounded, and 1 died 6 weeks later. On this day also, 15th of March, 1944, it was 44, not 45, war ended around about now. about April 1945. Anyway, New Zealand forces capture Castle Hill at Casino. The 6th New Zealand Brigade attacked the Italian town of Casino as part of the Allies' advance on Rome. By the time the 2nd New Zealand Division, that my father was in that, was withdrawn in early April, 343 New Zealanders had lost their lives. Also on this day in 1919, New Zealand troops riot in England 4 months after the end of the First World War. We'll go to that story, look at that in a little bit more depth. It's quite interesting. I didn't actually know this. It's just having trouble finding it. Oh, there we are. We're there. Okay, 4 months after the end of the First World War, hundreds of New Zealand soldiers rioted at Sling Camp on Salisbury Plain in southern England. It was the most serious breakdown of discipline in the New Zealand Expeditionary Force in the European theatre of war. Stores, especially alcohol and cigarettes, were looted and officers' messes were trashed after attempts to defend them failed. Canterbury men were initially prominent among the rioters, while Australian soldiers allegedly provoked a second day of looting. The total damage was said to amount to £10,000, equivalent to $1.25 million in today's money. The men were enraged at repeated delays and scheduled sailings of troop ships to New Zealand because of a British shipwrights' strike. The Cantabrians also complained of bias against South Islanders and decisions about sending men home. Other grievances included compulsory education, pointless guard duty, and lack of leave. The ringleaders were arrested some days later. Three sergeants were reduced to the rank of private and sentenced to up to 6 months hard labour, while privates served terms of up to 100 days. Troops, 6 months, wow. Troops from other dominions misbehaved similarly. After the war's end, five Canadians were killed in the worst incident. That is on this day in history, the 15th. Of March.
American policymakers have convinced themselves that Vladimir Putin is going to take over Poland. And it is not a defense of Putin. I don't mean to defend Putin. I'm not a fan of Putin's, and I'm not a subject of Putin's. I'm an American. However, there's no evidence that Putin has any interest in expanding his borders. He is the largest country in the world, and it's very hard to run. They don't need natural resources. There's nothing in Poland he wants. There's nothing he will gain by taking Poland other than more trouble. If you're saying he's going to invade Poland, you don't know what you're talking about.
Here is a point. You asked him, are you ready to invade Poland?
Are you an expansionist power?
Expansion, yes, in Poland. He said only if Poland launched a war,
of course,
on Russia. Ukraine did not launch a war on Russia, and he invaded Ukraine. Why you didn't follow up on this question?
I started with that question, actually.
Yeah, 25 minutes past six, and we're over at newshub.co.nz. We enjoy it while you can. After the 30th of June, they'll be down the toilet, and there'll be others that follow because it's tough. It's tough being in the mainstream media when you've been telling lies to the New Zealand public, and we've just switched off. We don't listen to you anymore. We don't watch. I do. I look at you and look at all the fake stuff that comes out and look at some of the good stuff as well. There's some good reporters there. There's also some really bad ones there as well. But they're just following. They all just have groupthink. They just say what they're allowed to say and they're allowed to report on certain things. Otherwise, they don't get invited to the parties, do they? Now, enough is enough. A Wellington mum, she's fighting to make streets safer for young women. Other news headlines, blood seeping through his hoodie. A woman describes the moment student attacks young man with a hammer at McDonald's. That was in Auckland. And Three Waters repeal, they haven't repealed it. You're telling lies. It's not a repeal. All you've done is push it out a bit further. Deal with it later. Added complications for council's long-term plans. Well, yeah, you're following whiff, you councils. You're a law unto yourselves. You're following whiff and you're not following what the people that pay your rates that keep you there. You need to do what we tell you. Amazing. Auckland residents stunned at strange cloud formation. Looked like a UFO. And poverty. Don't judge the book by the cover. Kiwi mum's advice as a number of children in poverty rise, and in business, demand for insolvency services ramps up as retailers struggle to stay afloat. In food and vegetables, fruit and vegetable prices plummet by eating out gets away more expensive. New stats. What? Fruit and vegetable prices plummet, but eating out gets away more expensive. New stats. Oh, I'll come back to that in a minute. More in the economy, just another tax. Lobby group says government should follow Australia's lead to abolish tariffs. Other news in politics revealed the government's casino tax plan expected to blow out. And in Law and Order, please cancel my membership. Chris Bishop rips into Free Speech Union. In Foreign Affairs, China's foreign minister is to visit New Zealand next week. The ACT Party student performed a haka, spit in front of the David Seymour during a school visit. And the latest news revealed, just come out at just a few moments ago, revealed government's casino tax plan expected to blow out. Please cancel my membership. Oh, we've had all this. We've read it all. Garaman's lawyers seek discharge without conviction. Why? We're not doing that. Yeah, enough to make you croak. She wants a discharge. A criminal conviction for Golders Garaman, that's a former Green Party MP, could jeopardise her ability to practice law in New Zealand. Well, good. Send you back home to Iran. Deal with you over there. They cut your hand off over there for stealing. Over $8,000 she stole from three different dress shops. The former Green MP admitted four shoplifting charges relating to theft of thousands, yes, $8,000 worth of clothing when she appeared in the Auckland District Court on Wednesday. The former law professor Bill Hodge told Morning Report, Garaman was not currently practising law, but if she were looking to renew her practising certificate of the Law Society, would likely be concerned if she was convicted. So we better convict her. I don't wish to speak for them. But her ability to appear in court in New Zealand after such a conviction will, I think, be prejudiced. Well, it's not prejudiced. It's prejudicial. It's not prejudicial. If she's found guilty, then she's guilty. Cut her hands off. Send her to Iran. They'll do it for you over there. No worries. She wants to be convicted over there, doesn't she? She wants to be use the same laws over there. Chop off some fingers. Probably would not cut the whole hand off for first offence. Hodge said that Garaman's defence lawyers could be seeking a discharge without conviction. I'm sure they will be. I think the obvious goal for counsel, that's her counsel, she's already signalled this, that the sentence she'll be seeking will be a discharge without conviction, and that is deemed to be an acquittal. She'll also walk away with a clean sheet. Unbelievable. That would be the best possible outcome for Golritz and her counsel. Hodge said it would be a difficult task for the judge. Why? It's a simple, got a leftist judge. Obviously, counsel is going to emphasise the big, big matter of mitigation. She's pleaded guilty. That's a great step forward. She's suffering remorse. But she's blaming. Now, she's straight away, they turn it around and they're going, oh, she's getting all this online abuse and all this sort of nonsense and, you know, and threats and all. Rubbish. I bet you are not. You're lying cow. I bet you're not. You need to go and do some hard labour. That's what you need to do. Do some knitting. It's not hard labour. You need to do some hard labour. Smash up some rocks. Send it to the desert road in the tent cities that Grant Edwards is going to build. Anyway, she's owned up to it, so that's to her benefit. She said the defence counsel would likely say, or he said, this is this guy, this expert, he said the defence counsel would likely say that she had already been punished. Oh, she has not. And that a conviction would be disproportionate. Nonsense. No way. If I did it, imagine what I'd get. She stole $695 worth of clothing from Wellington's Creative Works store on October 22nd and a navy cardigan valued at $389 from Standard Issue in Newmarket in December 22. She was also charged with two counts of shoplifting from Scotty's Boutique in Ponsonby, that's just off Jervois Road, $5,773 of items on December the 21st and $2,060 worth of goods on November 2023, that report according to Radio New Zealand. Now, blood seeping through his hoodie, woman describes the moment a student attacks a young man with a hammer. Nasty. Auckland grandmother, who was eating lunch with her grandchildren, has described the moment she watched a student attack a young man with a hammer. The 74-year-old woman, who wishes to remain anonymous, told News Hub the attack happened while she was taking her two young granddaughters out for a meal at McDonald's. A bad place to take them, dear. Take them, go to what's that place that do good burgers? Chuck the burger away and eat the meat. The massive patties they have. Burger Fuel. That's the best place. Take them there. This was in New Lynn on Wednesday evening. At about 4 o'clock, she watched the moment a student violently struck a young man in the head, causing blood to seep through his hoodie. Oh, hang on, I added hammer. I thought it was a hammer attack. Might not have been. The place was full of secondary school kids. Everyone was happy, eating food. A great atmosphere, she explained. A schoolboy around 18 years old strode in wearing a navy blue uniform. He was with a very a little entourage of foot soldiers behind him and walked over to a young man sitting directly across from me with no uniform on. I initially thought he was a security guard as he was all in blue, and then he walked up to the guy and put a hammer on the table, and no words were exchanged. Then he lifted the hammer and thrashed him over the head. Thrash, that's an interesting word. Bashed him over the head. The woman said, I really thought this could be a murder. This guy could die. The woman told News Hub she was frightened during the prolonged eye contact with the perpetrator. When he first walked in, he met my gaze and immediately just stared at me while walking over to this man. After attacking him, he turned around and made eye contact with me again before just walking out the door. Everyone in the store was frozen. Nobody was saying anything. This happened just 4 metres away from us. We were seated at the table and the boy was in the booth just opposite us. When asked why she didn't say anything during the attack, she reported, "I think when we're faced with a threat like that, you tend to step back." Of course you do. You're unarmed. It was a serious... Fancy asking that question. It was a serious assault with a hammer, she explained. He violently struck him. When the victim left, he had blood seeping through his hoodie. He still might not be out of danger. He was wearing a black bandana and then a cream hoodie over the top. She said the blood stain was about the size of a tennis ball, and there was enough blood, she thought, that could have fractured his skull. She thought he could have fractured his skull. The woman told News Hub, "The weirdest part was that no words were exchanged. I thought he might have said something or swear, but neither of them spoke. Kind of made it more worrying. I don't think anyone at McDonald's saw it coming." She admitted she was still in shock. I would be too. Police spokesman told News Hub they're investigating the incident of what happened in New Lynn on Wednesday. At around 6:23, they say they received a report of a person that had been assaulted with a weapon, not a firearm, at the commercial address in Memorial Drive, that's McDonald's. Officers couldn't find the victim or any of the perpetrators, but they have spoken to witnesses at the scene. Police spokesman said late Wednesday evening a man presented at the Waitakere Hospital with an injury. Inquiries are ongoing to establish establish if the two incidents are related. Well, I'm sure they will be. Please cancel my membership. Chris Bishop, he rips into the Free Speech Union. Better have a look at that. Anyway, 24 minutes away from 7, National's Chris Bishop, I quite like him, he blasts a letter from Free Speech Union, asked to cancel my membership. He was a member of the FSU. In a written letter to the leader of the House, Chris Bishop, to share his concerns about the government's repeated use of urgency in its first 100 days in power. Oh, this is a free speech. The FSU posted its letter on X, which firstly congratulated the government before letting rip. "We acknowledge there are circumstances where expeditious actions need to be taken by the government. However, we question whether the amount of time Parliament spent in urgency in the past 100 days was justifiable. The FSU also said bills passed under urgency get less scrutiny from MPs and the public and can become law without going through full select committee process. Further, the government has not been mandated explicitly to pass legislation, which was not included in the policy manifestos of any of the three parties in government," the letter said. "Is this a joke? Please cancel my membership," Bishop responded. A user on X challenged Bishop to explain why FSU was wrong. The idea that using urgency after an election to repeal things quickly, but they're not repealing. They're just pushing them out. What did they call it? What did the old lecturer used to call it? Weasel words. That's right. What's his name? He's gone now. I have to remember them when they're gone. Dr. Spackman, Dennis Spackman. He was one of the lecturers at the School of New Zealand School of Homeopathic Medicine, where I trained. And he would say, "Yeah, weasel words." He was a brilliant man. Actually, wrote a lot of books on health as well. and on the Bible issue too, actually. He was a King James man. Anyway, so there we are. So the NSU have pissed off Chris Bishop, and he's cancelling his subscription there. All right. Oh, so what are we doing now? Gosh, it's taking forever today, isn't it? Today's dragging, isn't it? It might be time for a cup of coffee. Why don't we have... We'll just very quickly, we'll go to Australia and have a look at news over there. This is the latest news just in. We're going to... Australian woman is killed in Bali in a landslide. Two foreign tourists, including an Australian woman, have been killed on the Indonesian resort island of Bali after heavy rain triggered a landslide that swept away their villa. Oh, man, that must have been massive, officials said on Thursday. And Adam Reynolds injured in Reece Welsh as Reece Welsh lights up Brisbane in win over South Sydney. That's football, that is. They get their first season back on track with a win over South Sydney, but could face time out. Star halfback Adam Reynolds, after he sustained a knee injury. And Carlton edges Richmond on MCG thriller. Tigers lose gun defender to suspended ACL injury. 200-year-old corals are dying en masse, apparently. Bleaching of Great Barrier Reef. Scientists are split on what the outcome will be. But the fifth mass bleaching an event in 8 years on the Great Barrier Reef is not a good sign. A stranded traveller successfully rescued after 4 nights stranded in the outback with the floods there. After 4 nights stranded by floodwaters in Western Australia's outback goldfields, the seven travellers have touched down in Kalgoorlie Boulder. There we are. And a Metron worker dies after being run over by a car in the suburban Perth car park. Police and ambulance officers were called to Halliday Park in Perth suburb of Bayswater shortly before midday after reports a vehicle had struck a man. And mulch contaminated with friable asbestos found at the Canberra residential complex. WorkSafe Act confirms a small quantity of mulch contaminated with friable asbestos was found at a residential complex in the Canberra suburb of Denman Prospect. A former Fiji Prime Minister Benjamin Frank Bainimarama, he faces jail time after being found guilty of interfering in a police investigation. A court finds the former Prime Minister guilty of perverting the course of justice, ordering he face sentencing later this month for interfering in police investigations. More police in Adelaide CBD after a string of violent incidents. South Australian police have increased their presence in Adelaide's Rundle Mall to deter violence. Leadership shake-up for 4 Indigenous Land Council Leadership shake-up for powerful Indigenous Land Council as CEO departs. Northern Land Council Chief Executive Joe Martin Jard is leaving his role days after the organisation elected a new chair and met with Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. Moldova says Russia illegally printed ballots for the election in separatist region. Officials in ex-Soviet Moldova say that Moscow is breaking laws by printing ballot papers and opening unauthorized polling stations in the separatist region of Transnistria ahead of this week's Russian presidential election. Another cocaine brick washes ashore in New South Wales as police recover 256 kilograms since December. More than 250 grams of cocaine is now washed ashore on New South Wales beaches and across the border into Victoria, with police appealing for information about the packages. How Trump's disgust for enemy of the people Facebook could save TikTok. A bill before the US Congress, which would force TikTok to either sell up or face a ban, has breezed through its first two tests, but don't expect an actual ban anytime soon. The ICAC, whoever that is, says investigations thwarted by Northern Territory government's refusal to hand over cabinet documents. the Northern Territories and Territories the Northern Territories Anti-Corruption Watchdog says a number of its investigations have been thwarted. Thwarted by withholding an internal territory government documents, withholding them, not letting them out, and budget cuts, as it admits some of its investigations are proceeding at a glacial pace. Very slow, glaciers. A mix between Steve Smith, Dave Warner and Phil Hughes. We're at cricket now. High praises for New South Wales' latest shield gun. New South Wales captain Moises Hendrikas says the attacking prowess of the 23-year-old Ollie Davies reminds him of some of the state's biggest young talent from years gone by. Another budget surplus is looking increasingly likely this year, but the Treasurer is warning of tough times ahead. For Jim Chalmers, the prospects of delivering a second budget surplus offers more for their government's long term than a few upset colleagues in the short term, writes Brent Worthington. Rats in New Orleans police station get high off confiscated cannabis. Rats have gotten into confiscated drugs, munching on evidence at New Orleans aging police headquarters. And why an outgoing mayor has raised concerns about the potential successor's political donations. The mayor of one of Australia's biggest councils is calling for an overhaul of Queensland's political donations law after raising concerns about his potential successor's political donations. Kim Jong-un, he drives a new tank during a mock North Korean battle. The state media reported that Kim Jong-un expressed great satisfaction after guiding a military demonstration involving a new battle tank. And ping pong. Ping pong ball-sized blueberry emerges from bumper New South Wales yield to take world title. The Guinness Book of Records holding blueberry variety. The Guinness World Record holding blueberry variety could break new ground for the fruit in Australia, according to its mid-north coast grower. A Dutch politician, Geert Wilders, abandons Prime Minister bid to assist formation of a right-wing coalition. Mr. Wilders, whose anti-Islam, anti-immigration rhetoric swept him to victory in the November election, says he's already had to forego the job of Prime Minister to facilitate the formation of a new right-wing government. Actor Olivia Munn praised for raising breast cancer awareness after a double mastectomy. The mum of about 20 years younger than Australia's average age of diagnosis, which according to the Cancer Council is 62 years old. She didn't look it. Looked very good. Court hears very chilling allegations about almost lifelong grooming of a child. Sandra Matheson and her partner William Little Pebble Cam were arrested earlier this week, and police have accused the pair of grooming a girl for years from the age of six. Snow-covered days in Australian Alps may decline by 78% this century, according to German researchers. Some 13% of the world's ski areas are predicted to lose all natural snow covered by 2100. But Australia's rate of decline is tipped to be the highest when compared to six other major global skiing regions. They say all this stuff, you know, remember that? They say all this stuff. It never eventuates. All it is just the weather, you know, El Nino comes in, then something else. It's just natural. They happen. Cycles. And then they try to make out that it's, you know, look, we're just heading down the toilet. But we're not. So don't panic. You know, it's all part of the just keep you in fear. They've got health scares and they've got, you know, global warming scares. It's all nonsense, climate change rubbish. Warren Treadier, he loses an unfair dismissal case against Channel 9. Former 9 News Adelaide sports presenter and AFL star Warren Treadier has lost his unfair dismissal court case against his former employer. Lost it. Four Corners Cranbrook investigation saw its headmaster resign. New allegations are flooding in as both the federal government and the Cranbrook announced investigations into the prestigious boys' school. Four Corners has been inundated with new concerning allegations. Goodness gracious. Now, the cockpit seat movement reportedly was under scrutiny after the LATAM Airlines' sudden drop. There are reports the sudden movement experienced on the LATAM Airlines flight to Auckland on Monday was due to the movement of a cockpit seat. Israel, they're planning to direct 1.4 million displaced Arabs in Rafah to humanitarian islands in central Gaza. Humanitarian islands, yeah, not real islands, you know, not out in the ocean, not out in the Med, just these little places where they can deal with them. Israel's planning to tell 1.4 million displaced Palestinians trapped in the southern city of Rafah to seek shelter in the central Gaza area ahead of a planned military offensive into the south. Yep, good. Got to get in there. Get them all out. Get them out. Israel take over, as the Bible says. Won't make a liar out of God. The Bible says something that always comes true. 14 minutes away from 7 o'clock, and we're going to hear from... Who are we going to hear from today? I don't know. Why don't we hear from someone like Ricky Gervais? He's funny, isn't he?
Ricky Gervais, and I am thrilled to announce that I am now the proud co-owner of Ella's Farm Distillery, and we make Dutch Barn Vodka. It tastes great. It's made from British apples. We're committed to sustainability and the protection of the ecosystem. And the best bit is, this could literally make
rich.
Me hundreds of millions. So please buy it. Yeah. Sure, like all strong liquor, it may damage your liver and your well-being, but think how happy
you'll be.
Make me.
Yeah. It's so, right. Coin. Bit of coin there, mate.
Dead? Okay. Oh, no. Dead?
This is Ricky Gervais' acting class. He's in the bath practicing his acting. Yeah.
Dead?
What else we got? Is that it?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's it from Ricky. Okay. Let's see what
dead?
Else. Oh, shut up. Now, what else could we look at? Oh, here we are. Here's Katie Hopkins. Vote. Island votes. So we'll have a listen to her for a few moments. There we are. We've got to look at an ad. Here we go. Here she is.
On an amazing result in the Irish referendum. So the Irish government had wanted to push through a change to both the 39th Amendment of the Constitution and the 40th Amendment of the Constitution. The 39th talks about family and ties family to marriage and defines marriage in a conventional way between a man and a woman. And the government had wanted to push through changes to this wording so that family could be whatever you decide it to be. Marriage can be between you and your letterbox if you choose it to be, kind of watering down the concept of family and certainly watering down what marriage is recognised to be in its primary sense. A resounding no vote. I just wanted to get the right percentage to share with you. But it was one of the largest turnout that they've had for a long time. And it was a complete pummeling of the government by the people. So Donegal was particularly high. Proposals to alter the wording to the constitution on marriage were defeated with 67.7% voting no. Then, and in other places like Donegal, that went up to, I think, 80 or 82% voting no. Then there was a referendum on the 40th Amendment with regards to care. Now, forgive my English translation of this, but it was such that there was a protection in the Constitution for the role of a mother and that the mother should not be placed under undue financial duress and therefore be forced to go out into the workplace over her primary duty of care as a mother to her child. That was the 40th Amendment. Again, the government wanted to force through a watering down of this so that mother, in a sense, was no longer protected. The word mother no longer really had any weight to it. Mother was going to be replaced with carer, and anybody could be a carer, and removing so that the carer could choose to do what they want with their life. Essentially, the stuff we've seen over and over, which really takes away a woman's role or a woman's choice about a role, or even the very definition of what a woman is. And excitingly enough, people came out in huge numbers, over 40% turnout, which is a lot for a referendum, as you'll know, and voted no. There are interesting points in this that aren't being talked about more widely. Most people are just getting as far as it's a no vote and therefore the government took a pummeling. But there's some other points here that I think are really important. Number one is something that I love the very most, which is an instinct not to trust what you're being told. And to me, this has come about due to the COVID lies and the lockdown lies and us being told things that were clearly not true. And I know this for certain in a certain group of people that I spend a lot of time with, that I'm on the road with, that I perform in front of. We now have an instinctive built-in sense of, no, sorry, no, no, I don't believe you. And I believe that's what this referendum has also been about. People's instinct, especially when it came to subject to do with family or marriage or women, people's initial reaction to being told we need to change something is no, no, sorry, no. And that's not being talked about. A gut instinct not to trust what you're being told by someone in a position of authority or government, or in my case, you know, I extend that out. I wouldn't trust someone, a policeman telling me something. I wouldn't trust a lawyer telling me something. I don't trust the medical profession telling me something. These are my personal views that I know are shared by others. But this is an instinctual reaction of people saying, no, you want to change something that we've had for ages that protects a mother, talks about women, talks about marriage. Gut says no, that. The second thing is €23 million. €23 million wasted on this referendum. And again, top level, it's a waste of money, could have been better spent. But €23 million, the Irish government were able to find just like that to try and push through something that chimes very neatly with all the stuff that's being pushed down at the global level. So all the stuff that's coming out of the World Economic Forum, all the stuff about, you know, women don't matter, women don't really exist, dilute everything, make everyone belong to nothing, make marriage invalid, make women invalid, make having a child not that important, make anyone a carer. All this dilution of stuff we hold on to or believe in comes from a global level, and all of a sudden €23 million was available for that. And then the most important thing that I wanted to say was how clearly this evidences how far government are from the people. And I don't just mean the lazy stuff in the news or the mainstream that's like government out of touch, Leo Varadkar out of touch, Sinn Féin out of touch. It's not that. It's that I don't think people woke up one morning and thought, do you know, I really think we need a change to the 39th Amendment and the wording in the 40th Amendment. I really feel like that's my priority today. When it costs €20 to buy a box of Weetabix and we have blocks of cheese that have security tags on them and most people can't afford to do a regular shop anymore because everything's too expensive, just as an idea of one thing we might be worrying about before you start on anything else, do you think then people, those same people, are waking up thinking, I really would feel better about my life if we changed the wording of the 39th Amendment? Of course they're not. It's not that government are out of touch with people. It is that they are operating on behalf of a far greater power than the people. And we are being shoved stuff down our throat that we don't need, that's very, very divisive. At a time when the last thing you need is division. And ask yourself, where does this divisiveness always come from? Because I can't think of examples where it comes from inside people. It is a manipulation to divide us. It is pushed down upon us. And government, frankly, I don't see the point in voting for anyone, because I believe democracy is at best an illusion. And I think in truth, voting and democracy is just another tool of control, because you think you had a vote, because you imagine that your vote matters, you are then able to be controlled. But overall, brilliant news. Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody who voted no. I say that just because of it's such an uplift and an inspiration to others of us, Americans, South Africans, Australians, you know, little me sat here. That's just glorious. It made my day when I heard the results. I was just like, thank you, Donegal, thank you. But mostly, you know, I love this sense that I can feel it when I'm out and about doing what I do. I can feel that instinctively people no longer trust anything they're being told. And in particular, if you're wearing a uniform or you have a stethoscope or a badge or a lanyard or something that says government, instinctively, immediately, our first reaction is no. So, great news. Thank you. Thank you, Ireland.
Here we are, Katie Hopkins. Very good indeed. And now let's go over to back here to New Zealand and we'll have a look at, and actually no, we won't. We'll go to Steve Kirsch and he's got some new information there. Where is it? Got to find it. Steve Kirsch, and why the COVID-C19 vaccines don't prevent infection. Paper by morons Taubenberger and Fauci. They make it very obvious why. And here's that information. On occasion, I come across posts, important articles. This article is important as it shows that COVID vaccines could never have worked to stop the spread. The CDC has never acknowledged this or apologized for their mistake. Steve Kirsch. In the summer of 2022, I had the privilege of having dinner with Professor Robert Clancy, a leading Australian clinical immunologist and a pioneer in the field of mucosal immunology, with 260 publications on the subject. He explained to me precisely why COVID-19 shots, designed to induce the production of antibodies against the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 in the blood, cannot prevent infection by or transmission of the virus. The trouble, he explained, is that SARS-CoV-2 replicates rapidly in the nasal mucosa and transmits to other people days before it makes it down to the gas exchange region of the lungs and encounters blood antibodies. This, he further explained, had long been understood, but about respiratory viruses such as those that cause the common cold and influenza. I mean, I don't agree with a lot of this, but, you know, we'll run with it. This same quality was quickly ascertained about SARS-CoV-2. Thus, from the onset, it was clear that the COVID-19 vaccines would not prevent infection or transmission of SARS-CoV-2. This reality completely nullified any rationale for vaccine mandates. Professor Clancy, his explanation of this reality has stuck with me ever since, says Steve Kirsch. I was reminded of it yesterday when a friend sent me a link to a paper entitled Rethink Next Generation Vaccines for Coronaviruses, Influenzas and Other Respiratory Viruses by Morons Taubenberger and Fauci. As the authors point out, non-systematic respiratory viruses such as influenza viruses, SARS-CoV-2 and RSV tend to have significantly shorter incubation periods and rapid courses of viral replication. They replicate predominantly in local mucosal tissue without causing viremia or viremia and do not significantly encounter the systematic immune system or the full force of adaptive immune responses, which take at least 5 to 7 days to mature, usually well after the peak of the viral replication and onward transmission to others. Taking all these factors into account, it is not surprising that none of the predominantly mucosal respiration viruses has ever been effectively controlled by vaccines. The observation raises a question of fundamental importance. If natural mucosal respiration viruses... Oh, gosh, where's that gone? Oh, the whole thing's disappeared. I don't know what I did. Where were we up to? taking all these factors into account, this observation raises the question of fundamental importance. If natural mucosal respiration viruses infections do not elicit complete and long-term protective immunity against reinfection, how can we expect vaccines, especially systematically administered non-replicating vaccines, to do so? This is a major challenge for future vaccine development, and overcoming it is crucial as we work to develop next-generation vaccines. In other words, in November 2022, Dr. Fauci and his colleagues published a paper in which they demonstrated their clear understanding of what Professor Clancy told me at dinner 3 months earlier, namely that COVID-19 vaccines cannot effectively control SARS-CoV-2. The initial, much-publicised claim that they could prevent infection and transmission was a bald-faced lie.